T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, we'll call this a spot with Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network. Brian, it's a happy holiday season to you and yours, and thanks for a couple of minutes of your time.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's good to be with you. Happy New Year to you and everybody else there at the Fan.
Yeah, very good. And nice to have you on. Let me ask, before we get into Week 17 with the NFL, give me your take on, by far and away, what is right now, outside of what the Yankees might do with Bryan Harper and with Manny Machado. It is all with Eli Manning, and it does appear, Brian, that he's going to be coming back in 2019, when it does appear that may not be what all Giants fans, and certainly some people in the Giants organization, may not want.
Well, they got a decision to make. They had a decision to make last year as well, Steve, and they stayed with Eli in a draft that was full of a lot of really good quarterbacks and were watching him perform this year. I think the Giants will explore all possibilities, though. I think they'll look at the free agent market. I think they'll look at the upcoming draft and who's coming out, who's going to be eligible, where they're picking. And I think they'll look at what Eli is. And I don't know that if you went to the free agent market, I don't know everybody's out there right now, Steve, but if you went to the free agent market or if you went to the college draft, that you're going to find a better option than Eli right now.
And from what I understand, and you would probably know better than me, that's for sure, but it's not supposed to be, even with Herbert staying at Oregon, it's still not supposed to be a great quarterback draft coming up. So that certainly is favorable to a guy like Eli Manning. As far as free, I mean, you got to figure that Flacco is going to be available, maybe Ryan Tannehill. And here's something I understand. Nick Foles. Does Nick Foles stay in Philadelphia? I understand as a backup per se, although he's starting and he may be starting next year for Philadelphia. But I understand, Brian, and maybe you know better than I do, that he has an opt-out in his contract. If he was to pay back something like $2 million of his signing bonus, he could become a free agent and go someplace else. If that were the scenario, and I don't think that's going to happen, do you think the Giants would be interested in him?
I don't think so, Steve, and I'm not here to bash Nick Foles. He went to St. Louis after a year, 2 years with Chip Kelly here in Philadelphia, Andy Reid and Chip Kelly, and it was a disaster to the point where he almost quit the game of football. He went to Kansas City with Andy Reid and sort of resuscitated his career. He came back, obviously finished great last year. He's played exceptional in these last two games. I think you got to kind of – there's a possibility. Here, let me just play the scenario out, Steve. If Nick Foles – helps the Eagles win on Sunday, and the Bears beat the Vikings, and the Eagles get into the postseason, there's not a question in my mind, regardless of Carson Wentz's health, that Nick Foles is starting a wild card playoff game. And if he gets on any kind of a run, like we saw last year, then he could be a real hot commodity. So I want to see a little bit more this year before a team is going to throw him free agent money and, you know, make him the starter and all that. He's done this before and did not work out. So he's in a great spot where the players really know him. They really love each other. The coach is a big fan. I mean, everything's just right here for Nick. You know, it's not like the designated hitter here, Steve. You just don't take these guys out of the lineup and put them in another lineup and they still hit 40 dingers. It's just not quite the same.
So, all right. And listen, he's very successful so far. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. And as you point out, the last two games, he's been on fire. Could he be the starter over Wentz next season? Could he be starting game one?
I've talked to guys in the organization. They didn't just shut the conversation down and just say, no, that's crazy. Because they've seen how this offense has been ignited with Nick, and it wasn't like that with Carson almost the entire season. And Carson still had a good year, but he didn't play at the level that Nick has played 2 weeks in a row. So, if he plays and continues to play and they get to the postseason and he stays hot, it's going to be either Nick's going to go as a big-time free agent or there's going to be a real quarterback controversy in Philadelphia.
All right. I think the Giants, and we're talking with Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, and with Eli Manning. So you see him starting 2019. You see him starting the season for the Giants, Brian?
Right now, I do. Right now, I don't. It's not like last year. I don't see Baker Mayfield or Patrick Mahomes or Sam Darnold in this draft where you can go, okay, this is a guy we're going to build around for the next 10 years or whatever. I just don't see that guy. Now, it's early. I mean, we haven't really done our homework on these guys, so we got to kind of hold it. But we knew that Baker was going to be a top-flight player, and we knew Darnold. I mean, we knew these guys last year were going to be good. I don't think anybody knew that Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson were going to be as good as they are right now, but they're really good. And that's what the Giants need. They need a young, fresh, exciting player at that position right now. And so is he there? And if he is there, how do you get him? Because the Giants aren't going to pick at the top of this draft. I mean, they've got five wins, and who knows? If Dallas doesn't play on Sunday, they win a sixth game, they're going to pick at somewhere between probably 10 and 15. So that guy that might be there, that might become Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes or Baker, I don't know that he's going to get out of the top 10.
Yeah, and right now they're number 7, although Dallas is supposed to be resting.
Right.
A lot of guys, so the Giants have a chance to leave this dreadful 2018 season behind with a win and maybe feel a little bit better about themselves, even though Dallas is certainly going to be resting. Maybe outside the first couple of minutes, as we say in the trade, most of their top players. The bottom line with Sam Darnold, we have seen some bad games from him. The team isn't very good, but since he has come back from the 3 games that he was away because of injury, he has looked super. And again, I use that word cautiously because the Jets and their fans would love to see him take the Jets and the fans right into the promised land with a Super Bowl. They seem to have a quarterback, Brian, who is a keeper and possibly the franchise. This is the guy, Sam, the man.
Well, I think he is. I've said this probably since early in the season, Steve, maybe in the first month of the season, that it's not – don't even look at Sam Darnold's statistics this year. It's going to be meaningless. I mean, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions his rookie year. The interceptions, I mean, he's more touchdowns than interceptions now. He played excellent last week at Green Bay, his best game he's played. So, but when you watch his demeanor, you look at his preparation, I think when he came back from the injury, I think he learned a lot about the game, seeing the game differently as Josh McCown was playing. I mean, I just think he learned a lot. I think it was valuable for him. There was no pressure standing there and just kind of watching. You know, Robbie Anderson has played great with them. Chris Herndon looks like a keeper, tight end. We know that they need a lot of pieces around him. I believe this. I think just the way that the Eagles built around Carson Wentz, the way the Chicago Bears went out and got a lot of pieces for Mitch Trubisky, that's the Jets' job right now, is to give him as much talent, a left tackle, you know, a superior running attack, give him maybe another tight end, another wide. I mean, just keep building around him. I think he's going to be just fine, and he's going to be that guy.
Okay.
I think he does everything the right way.
Okay. And who's going to be the coach?
Well, I don't know, Steve. What are you on the hotline there at the fan these days? What are they throwing out there? I mean, I hear Lincoln Riley and back up the Brinks truck to Nick Saban, and and I hear all of the you know, Mike McCarthy, and I hear all the names. I think you got to think like this, though. Just the way we've seen Doug Peterson kind of married with Carson Wentz, the way Matt Nagy came in and, you know, just really took that Chicago franchise and, you know, the quarterback and all the weapons and just inserted this offense, which is a really good offense. I mean, I think you got to think offense and Sam Darnold. And who's going to be that guy that's going to get the most out of him with the best offense and utilizing the most weapons? So people point to Lincoln Riley. I've talked to, you know, different guys about him. I know Lincoln. I've done Oklahoma games. He's bright. But I think these guys, they need a step before they go and become head coaches or even offensive coordinators from the college game. It's just so different. And the clock is different. The game is different. The whole thing, you can't just run air raid football in the NFL. Chip Kelly had ran him right out of the league. So there's got to be a kind of an intermediate step, I think, for some of these college guys that keep getting talked about.
See, you would think Lincoln Riley, if he had a choice, if he was going to leave Oklahoma, would want to go to Cleveland.
Well, if he had that choice, I mean, if Cleveland offered to him, I think that would be the natural fit. I mean, he loved Baker and coached him for 3 years there and the Heisman and all that. But Freddie Kitchens is doing a really good job there. And I don't know, they've won 5 of the last 7 games and they look like a completely different football team. So I don't know if Greg Williams is going to become the leading candidate there, but I don't know. What Freddie Kitchens is doing sure looks pretty good right now.
Do you think Todd Bowles knows that he's gone? Do you think he already has gotten the word?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, just the way players kind of know when their time is up, I think coaches know. Very few of these coaches get just blindsided, like they truly never saw it coming. I mean, Todd knows that they have not won enough games for whatever reason, yeah, and they've given him plenty of time. And so I think Todd knows that that if he gets the call on Sunday night or Monday morning, I don't think he's going to be surprised by it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I've been saying, that when he gets relieved, Brian, he's probably going to feel relieved because he has to know it's been a failure, it's not working. He probably doesn't like from the media, from the booing. I mean, after all, he's a human being.
Yeah.
But a terrible, terrible head coach. You think, I don't think another team would hire him, certainly not after the 3-4 years here. And he had such a great reputation working with Arians in Arizona as a defensive coordinator. Maybe that would be his next job somewhere as a defensive coordinator, Brian.
Except they haven't been a good defense.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And so, yep. I mean, they completely rebuilt the secondary. I understand injuries and all that. They put a lot of money into that secondary with draft picks and high-priced free agents. And, you know, they've been addressing the other positions throughout the draft over the last 4 years. And, they're at the bottom of the charts in every category defensively.
Yeah, and the corners are awful. I mean, Trumaine Johnson, $72 million for what already?
Well, you have to be careful when you take these guys in free agency. You have to look at everything else around them. And you have to really, I just don't think they do enough evaluations on free agency. I mean, I think he's just not a shutdown corner. And he's proven that he's not.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in Los Angeles. So I'm not sure what they watched when they said, this guy is going to be, you know, one of these top flight corners that, you know, you can rely on every week against the league's best receivers.
Name me outside of New Orleans. I think we have some parity, some competitive balance in the NFL. Take a look outside of New Orleans, maybe, and of course now all their games in January are going to be at home, so that gives them the advantage. But is there outside of New Orleans, if you even want to include them as a super team? But outside of them, is there a team that stands out? I mean, they all look to be vulnerable, Brian.
Well, I think they all are. I do. I saw Chicago last week. I mean, we saw them against the Giants 3 weeks ago, and they look vulnerable. But I've seen them when they look like they could. I don't know that anybody can go into Chicago and beat them right now. So, but what we've seen is that New Orleans has struggled. They struggled against Carolina. They struggled against Dallas. I mean, they have struggled. You know, recently here, obviously the Dallas game, we didn't think we'd see anything like that, but they struggled against Carolina. They came back against Pittsburgh last week, but there's a lot of tape out there to study where they have struggled offensively. And it doesn't look like they can just roll out these 30 and 40-point spots that they were doing for much of the season right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be something if Indianapolis, they started the season 1-5, and of course, if Jacksonville beats Houston, then you have Indianapolis and Tennessee, maybe without Marcus Mariota, playing for the AFC South. If Indianapolis gets into the postseason, wouldn't that be something after their start, Brian?
Well, they're as hot a team as there is in football right now, Steve. I mean, they've won 8 out of the last 9 games. And if you watch them, and I know you do, I mean, the offensive line is completely rebuilt. Andrew Luck is playing the best football he's ever played. He's throwing the second amount of touchdown passes in this league next to Patrick Mahomes right now. But if you watch him defensively last week, I mean, you know, I mean, they completely shut down Saquon Barkley last week. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he averaged 2 yards a carry last week. And the week before, they shut out Dallas. So you look at them defensively and you go, okay, well, offensively, they can control the ball and the quarterback's really good. But defensively, you got to really study your game chart real carefully because you're not going to know a lot of the names there. But they have Jabal Sheard and Marcus Hunt and Darius Leonard and Antoine Walker. I mean, these guys have increasingly played really well. They're well coached by Matt Eberflus. They play really hard. And so their goal Sunday night in Nashville is to really stop Derrick Henry. That's how you stop Tennessee right now. And he's run for almost 500 yards in the last 3 games.
Do you know anything about Mariota? Is he going to play?
Well, they said the other day when he got hit that his entire side of his body was tingling and numb. Now, that's I've had stingers before, Steve, and I've had my hand go numb and my arm. I haven't had a whole side of my body go numb.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he is a very, very tough kid, and I'm sure he's going to do everything he can, but is he another hit away from being numb on one side of his body right now?
Well, I'll tell you this. If it's Blaine Gabbert, it's Indianapolis making the postseason. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, I look, I'm not here to bash Blaine Gabbert, but if he gets that team into the postseason, I'd be shocked.
Hmm.
I think, but look, you go on the road to Tennessee, it's going to be probably the biggest crowd they've had in that stadium in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look and feel like a playoff game. It's going to be like that, you know, that wild card game you play in the postseason baseball to get into the postseason. That's what it's going to look like Sunday night.
All right, Brian, before I let you go, and I can't thank you enough, of course, give me your 2 teams in the Super Bowl February 3.
On February 3rd, Steve, I'll take the New Orleans Saints, and I'll match them up against the Baltimore Ravens.
Wait a minute. The Baltimore Ravens.
I think that this team right now is just got the perfect chemistry going forward right now. I think defensively they can defend anybody. I saw them against Kansas City, the number one offensive football, and really had them down 17 points for 58 minutes before they got the ball to Lamar Jackson's hand. But I think that formula that they have is exactly the same formula that they had in San Francisco when Colin Kaepernick took to the Super Bowl, and that's what they look like to me right now.
And if you're a football team, who wouldn't rather have Nathan Peterman over Kaepernick? All right.
That's another discussion. And
fortunately, we're out of time for it. Brian,
thanks
so much. And again, a happy new year to you and yours. Thanks
all right,
a lot.
All right. My
Brian.
Pleasure, Steve. Anytime. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.